This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Picked off at the 30-yard line, Marco Wilson, and then he does a flip into the end zone for the touchdown.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Calm down, we're good. You know, we're going to make it right. We ended up scoring, so that was good.
Earlier on the show, Jets head coach Robert Saleh, UCLA head coach Chip Kelly, Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, still to come, actor Ryan Phillippe, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Just calm down, okay? Just calm down. I'm sorry. I thought that there was a timeout. I'm sorry.
Calm the F down.
Oh, that's right. I'm trying to clean it up for the Roku audience in hour number three on our terrestrial radio network and satellite radio and Odyssey.
Easy to laugh about that after the game when you win and score 40
points. After we saw a timeout burned by Arizona down 14-6 and Kyler Murray goes to his coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and tells him to calm the F down.
Whoa.
And DeAndre Hopkins had no idea he's coming back to the team to try and calm everybody down. You know, that was part of his role, was to tell Kyler to slow his, or I guess tell the coach to slow his so Kyler could help slow his.
Yeah.
They scored a touchdown, then a two-point conversion, and then two pick sixes happened.
One, not Andy Dalton's fault.
Both of them weren't his fault.
Well, the second one, he was
hit as he threw.
But that's his fault. Get rid of the ball.
Or not. I mean,
the first one went right through Marcus Callaway's
hands.
So, you know.
And the amazing thing is, it happens to the best of them. Because as I announced in hour number one last night, the game day morning quartet, Mooch, Kurt, Irv and I were rehearsing calling that game in advance of the game we're calling in Germany for NFL Network on November 13th. Yeah, we're calling Brady v. Seahawks, Bucks versus Seattle.
Alton Morgan.
And that will be in Munich. Very excited to be calling that game and bringing it back to the rest of the United States of America on NFL Network. We were rehearsing that game last night, and Mooch asked Ben McWilliams, our researcher of Game Day Morning, who was helping research in our rehearsal yesterday. He asked, who was the last quarterback who threw pick sixes twice in the last 2 minutes of a half?
Ooh.
And you could see Kurt holding his breath, man. Like, please don't say it's me. Please don't say it's me. Please don't say it's me.
Was it?
It was not.
Oh.
It was Dan Marino.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, in 1997 against Pete Carroll's Patriots.
Jeez, was that Dan's last year?
No, 99 was his last year.
Wow.
So it's happened. Congratulations, Andy Dalton. You're going to the Hall of Fame, or you might get an Isotoner commercial. I don't know.
You were going to say it was Schaub or something. You know?
No, literally that is the guy that I thought it might be, and I even verbalized that last night. So, yeah. Happens to the best of them.
Wow.
Happens to the best of them. And Arizona's got 3 wins now. They're
like
3-4.
Yesterday, they're right there
They're
now.
3-4, they're and right the rest there. Of the division has 3 wins. The Rams are on a bye. They're going to have 3 wins. The Seahawks are in Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. And the Niners, despite acquiring Christian McCaffrey, have a very, very, very full plate this weekend with the Chiefs coming in fresh off of losing to the Bills. One never knows. And there's Arizona sitting at 3-4 with a week 8 game at Minnesota next. Unfortunately for them, Andy Dalton's not walking through that door. The Cardinals have now beaten Andy Dalton 4 times. And Andy Dalton has played for 4 different teams. They beat him as a Bengal, as a Cowboy, as a Bear, and now a Saint.
What a stat.
Yes. A stat. These are all facts. And so they look better with DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow.
The other question is, though, who else is it going to be? And what is going on with the coach and the quarterback, and where the quarterback feels compelled to just basically tell him, shut the F up. Calm the
pretty
F down.
Pretty much. He's telling the STA, F you pretty much.
This was Cliff Kingsbury after the game on this very subject matter of what happened there.
I mean, that was just one of those things on the field. We had a difference of opinion. Yeah, he said I didn't look good on TV acting that fiery. So he said, I don't know. This is a Gen Z thing. You're on TV, so calm down. Like, I like showing emotion.
Look, when I have a producer in my ear, and I'm not talking about you, Hoskins, and I'm not talking about anybody currently at NFL Network, when you have somebody in your ear, when you're hosting a show, you do not need emotion. You do not need somebody telling you, hurry up, do this thing, hurry, get to break. You don't need somebody who's putting in your head a sense of, I guess the word for it, and I'm sure neither Kingsbury nor Murray would use it, tsuris is the word. It's a Yiddish word that means a lot of angst.
White knuckle.
Big word alert.
It's not a big word.
I've never heard that.
It's a very Yiddish word, which I don't believe they're using it, but that's the word. Like, it's a lot of angst. I don't need that. I don't need the angst. Right. We used to have a producer, Stuart and I. I've said it before. I'll say it again here on SportsCenter. Whenever we would go long, and we knew we were going a little long, and putting the producer in a bind because he'd have to, cut highlights, and people are working their asses off to cut those highlights, and he'd have to kill them from the rundown, and we would go on a little bit longer. And the first thing we would hear during the commercial break is the producer getting on our ear and went like this. We got a problem. We got a problem. And he would use the F word. We got an effing problem. And okay, just give me a second. Just give me a second. I got to do some math. Okay. Like, that's the first thing we would hear.
Are you on air when this is going on?
No, okay. We're on in the commercial break.
Okay.
And it's just like we, as a host, you need the voice in your ear to act like it might be the perfect storm. Type of a tidal wave hitting, but it's just the ocean is like as smooth as glass. That's what you want to hear. And if Kingsbury is, given that in Murray's ear, I can understand him telling him to calm F down. Yeah. I hear you.
There's nicely a button that done. Says Rich. I wasn't sure
that
if it
works.
Ever
I heard you.
There you go.
Hey, I heard you. I heard you. He just says, does this button work? That's what he just
it
said
says
to me
Rich.
In my
I've
ear.
Always wondered.
So I can understand Kyler telling Cliff Kingsbury that. I'm not the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins was asked about it. I've got the quote right here.
Oh,
and
it's
a great quote.
By the way, D-Hop looked good last night, huh?
Of course he did. 10 catches, 103 yards. You ready for this? This is a great, great quote from DeAndre Hopkins about Cliff and Kyler. Quote, I'm not married, but from what I hear, that's like a marriage. End quote.
That is, yeah.
That's it.
That's true.
Well done,
DeAndre Hopkins.
Well done.
That's awesome.
Well done.
What I hear.
So, I mean, Robbie Anderson, he was there. They went up top to him once. Yeah, Moore can do it.
Moore should have been.
Hey, man, Eno Benjamin's good. And so if James Conner comes back, right, Isaiah Simmons had a pick six. A kid, Zach Allen, up front with J.J. Watt, who, bless him. Thank goodness he's healthy through seven weeks now. We'll see. That NFC West is wide open. Wide open.
Just think about it. What if Chiefs go in, take care of business, beat San Francisco?
They're 3-4.
No McCaffrey.
Right.
Now they're 3-4,
yes.
Right? Seattle is coming down here to L.A. Chargers do their thing, take care of business. Now Seattle's 3-4. Suddenly, everyone's 3-4, and the Rams, bye week, 3-3, first place.
That's correct. Facts.
Very probable, right?
Sure. I think you've just said something that is...
And now the Rams, bam, right back in the
I know as we're about to play What's More Likely,
Cardinals, right back in
that sounds somewhat likely. And then the Rams, let's see, they come off their bye. Oh, baby. San Francisco comes in.
Hey.
Christian McCaffrey's first start against the team that tried to acquire him and couldn't and didn't. Oh, man. Yeah. And by the way, that's the last team McCaffrey has faced on the road. He's back in SoFi. Here you go.
Here we go.
So if the 49ers send a receiver off because he's argued with the receivers coach, now we know it's a McCaffrey thing. It's not a Robbie Anderson thing. If it happens to his team when they go back to SoFi. Oh, baby. Oh, that's week 8, though. Week 7, right in front of us, Ryan Phillippe, who has to be over the moon because the Phillies are playing game 3 of an NLCS in Philadelphia tonight. The Eagles are 6-0 on a bye week. He's about to join us in studio to have a nice, fun conversation. Always great when he stops by. But let's do our Friday staple first. What's more likely with Chris Brockman? Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, guys, breaking news. Christian McCaffrey got traded to the 49ers. You guys hear that?
We'll say what?
What? You guys heard that?
Yeah, I have, you.
Hey, whose team stock are you buying more right now? Don't look at the actual market. Think about the football market. Whose stock are you buying up now for the rest of the season? 49ers or Chiefs?
So what's more likely?
That's the what's more likely. Whose stock are you buying?
What's the stock do? The stock wins the Super Bowl? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, the stock has a deeper run and makes you more money.
I guess I'll go with the 49ers because the Bills don't play in the NFC. So I would do that. But I'll tell you right now, I'm taking the Chiefs on game day morning in this one.
Then that's kind of opposite.
No, it's not.
So you like the Chiefs.
You just asked about a longer run.
I think the Bills are
winning the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Okay? I think the Bills are winning the Super Bowl.
Are they going to beat the 49ers?
Maybe they'll face them. But the 49ers, if this was a poker tournament and who's lasting longer, if that's your stock ask of me now, Chris, the Bills don't play in the NFC. And the Eagles are the team that kind of stands in the Niners' way if you think that they're the team to beat right now. I still also need to see if McCaffrey's going to stay healthy. I mean, you're sitting here saying that McCaffrey plays all 17?
Yeah, why not?
McCaffrey plays only 6 of the final 17? Of the final.
What if McCaffrey plays
only 6 of the final 10?
8 of the final 10, and the Chiefs get Odell.
Oh, my gosh. I'll take the Chiefs then.
Our big AFC South matchup.
I still
this
like
weekend.
The Bills, man. I don't think the Bills are getting beat.
Looks like JT is going to go. More rushing yards on Sunday. Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry. I think the Titans are rolling downhill right now, brother. And I think they're going to have some short fields. Matt Ryan's going to give it to him. And I think Derrick Henry's going to have some short red zones, and he's going to punch him in, man. And I need to see what Jonathan Taylor looks like. We haven't seen him in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Joey Chestnut's colonoscopy, our fantasy team name, needs to see him.
We've had
2 weeks of Moon River. It hasn't been great.
Boone River.
Hey.
Hey, for some reason, both these teams are underdogs, and I don't really understand that, Rich. How about New York team to get a road win this week?
Jets.
Giants or Jets?
Jets.
They're Jets. Both underdogs.
Jets. Jets. J-E-T-S. I don't know if crazy stuff happens in Jacksonville. Right now, it could be Brett Rippon, Let's Ride. And Doug Peterson can coach rings around the current situation in Denver. I mean, I would take Doug Peterson at home over what's going on with Denver right now. Jets are coming to town. They're coming to town. And I'm just wondering if Sauce has got like a horse head to put on his head. to stroll around a mile high, or he's just one and done with the cheesehead stuff.
Maybe he'll bring a saddle.
What else, Chris?
Big matchup in our nation's capital this weekend.
Or Virginia, but I understand. Got it.
They play in Virginia?
They do, sir.
Yeah.
Raoul John, Virginia, which is the mashup of the names, apparently, of Jack Kent Cook's kids.
Wow.
Most people don't know
Probably
that.
Probably not for long. Aaron Rodgers, season-high yards this year, only 255.
Huh?
Who's more likely to throw for 300 and get a win, Rodgers or hit him with the Heineke?
Hit him with the Heineke! Bro!
You going to pick them this week?
I don't know about that. I got to think about it. Coach Dustup doesn't have Chase Young yet, back yet. Coach
Dustup. That's never not going to be funny.
What, Coach Dustup?
Yeah.
Except what it's about is not very funny.
McLaurin
and Samuel and yeah, man, they've got better weapons.
Yeah, man.
The Washington Commanders have better receiver weapons at the disposal of their quarterback. And Heineke's got to be sitting there going, why did we get this guy from Indianapolis? I'll show you why we should never have right now. And that's going to be a powerful tool. I kind of like it.
Should I pick up Heinicke to play instead of Russ this week?
No.
You don't have a backup? Russ might not play.
I have Mac Jones.
He might not play.
He might not play either. So no. You're
pick up Zappy, bro. What are you doing?
I have Zappy also.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you pick up Mariota? Listen to his fantasy advice.
Not available.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You have a 19-team league.
Yeah.
So stupid. What else you got over there?
All right. What's more likely? The Seahawks and Chargers play a completely normal, average football game.
I don't know what the...
With punts and nothing crazy happening, or the exact opposite.
The exact opposite. I will take the exact opposite.
The two teams that can't play a normal football game if their life depends on
it are playing each other.
Do
they cancel each other out and it's completely normal? No one goes for it on fourth down. There's no crazy bounces of the football. There's no crazy decisions to be made. There's no chew.
No weird fourth down. No gum chewing.
No gum chomping.
It's not 75% Seahawks fans.
That SoFi. May be my favorite. What's more likely? I'll take the exact opposite. That's more likely.
Okay, I was just checking.
That's my best.
What is going to happen?
That's a good one, man. You got one more?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
Okay.
Good game in Cincinnati. Sneaky good. Falcons, Bengals. Who's going to have the longest play in the game there? Jamar Chase or the field?
Good one. That's a good one. That's a really good one. I'll take Jamar Chase. I liked what I saw in New Orleans.
You did.
I thought they were beginning to start clicking like last year, man. I think the Bengals are ready to roll. I'd like them a lot, as you're going to hear a little bit later on in this hour. I like them a lot. I'll take Jamar Chase because Drake London's got Kyle Pitts disease now. All of a sudden, fantasy wise,
yeah. But they don't throw it that much.
So what are you talking about? Like T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd might go off for one or something like
that? Yeah, or maybe.
I'm going to take Jamar Chase. I'll take Jamar on that one.
Big game, Browns, Ravens this week. More rushing yards, Nick Chubb or Lamar Jackson? Lamar's gotten him the last couple weeks.
I'll take Lamar. I'll take Lamar in this one. I think the Ravens win this one. I think the Browns are in trouble.
And
I think Lamar is going to. I think Lamar takes this one. I know the Browns' defense has been
not good.
No, I don't believe in them right now. I'm not taking them.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one.
Thank you, George. What else?
Touchdown, road dog to pull an upset. Lions or Texans?
The Texans are
in Vegas. 7-point dogs. Lions, 7-point dogs.
We're not talking about the Vegas Raiders coming off their bye week to go to 1-5. We're not talking about that. We're not even gonna manifest a damn thing about that.
I don't know.
I'm taking the Lions. I'm taking Dan Campbell coming back. He said, which is more likely to pull the
touchdown road dog
to cover or to just pull out the upset?
Pull an upset, just like the Steelers.
I'll take the Lions. It's one of those games
to win.
You just asked me. Asked me what's more likely. I don't think either are going to happen.
There's probably
what's
unlikely.
More likely?
But Dan Campbell's
Dan Campbell's coming off a bye. You don't
play with Dan Campbell.
Overlook Dan coming off a bye. What did they do last year? They probably lost, right?
I just had that stat.
He's coming for Dak's kneecaps.
Hey,
bro.
Kneecaps and grit. They're gritty
with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
You know what I mean?
Well done on what's more likely. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One.
Dan Campbell won last year off the bye week.
You don't do that to Dan Campbell. You don't overlook Dan Campbell coming off a bye. He's like Andy Reid 2.0. If Andy Reid... 8 kneecaps instead of hamburgers.
Oh, grit.
Grit.
Good nugget right there, Chris. Way to back my play. Mm. Ryan Phillippe is here in studio. Don't go anywhere. We're back with him in a moment. Always fun when he stops by, as he's about to. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First.
Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
And we're back here on the Rich Eisen show called American Murderer is the name of the movie. And we're back here on our terrestrial radio affiliates. Ryan Phillippe is here in studio. He plays the special agent trying to put the aforementioned American murderer behind bars, played by Tom Pelfrey, who whose fans of Ozark will know his work.
He's such a good actor. That was my only thing that I was upset about. I don't have any scenes with him because I never catch him, you know, because Jason Derek Brown is still at large. He's still out there somewhere.
Right now?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's theories that he might be in Australia or Mexico, but we're thinking that if enough people see this movie and it starts conversation, maybe it brings him to justice.
And again, that is in theaters today, available on digital and on demand starting next Friday here on the Rich Eisen Show, Ryan Phillippe. So we'll talk a little bit more about this and your other projects in a moment. But the projects I'm sure you also would like to talk about are named the Eagles and the Phillies.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the Eagles first up. You're wearing an Eagles hat right now.
I am. I'm chilling. It's a bye week, you know, no stress. Three scary things about the Eagles, I think.
Okay.
We still haven't played our best game. Howie Roseman's going to make a move before the trade deadline to bolster the D-line. And if we come up short this season, we have two first-round picks next year. One could be a top 10. I'm thinking dynasty.
I like you using the dynasty word, or the D word, which the gentleman behind you would say stands for Dallas.
I mean, it does.
But I think the aspect about what you just laid out and the draft picks, Ryan, the neat part about it for you, and I think, is that all of these draft choices, whether they were this year or next year, the stockpiling of them has always been mentioned as, well, just in case Jalen Hurts doesn't work out,
right,
they can go and use those picks and get some kid out of college. Right. I think that's to bed. I think that has been put to bed.
I think so, too.
And that this is Jalen Hurts' gig. He is a rock star in this league, and the first six games prove that. I just saw today, and everyone should seek it out as well. I guess NFL Films had him, they captured his speech to the team after they won against Dallas on Sunday night. This guy's a leader. This is his team.
He is an absolute leader, and he continues to develop. Unlike other players that sometimes plateau or you hear they're uncoachable, he's the opposite. His dad was a coach. He wants to improve. I think he's not satisfied with where he's at even now, even though he's made improved leaps and bounds from last year. But I believe, and he's such a guy of character too, man. Like, he says the right things. He does the right things. You can tell the guys are behind him, believe in him. It's exciting.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about his record because nobody, you know, didn't want to talk about it when they were 2-5. Right. Don't want to talk about their 6-0. He does say the right things. But again, even going into this season, I was talking about how the Eagles are going to win this division. I liked it, and I thought Jalen Hurts was their guy for the future. I know that there are, you know, sports talk radio folks in Philadelphia who like it only when it's something for them to get upset about.
Yeah.
I got a lot of grief back on the old Twitterverse from folks in Philadelphia saying, you didn't watch the end of last season. You didn't see how dreadful the end of the season was, you know, and you only saw that playoff game at the end and so on and so forth. I just think you got the right guy. And I think the first six games has proved it.
And I would say Howie Roseman. He did an amazing job. One of the best off seasons in our team history. Before the season started, I didn't expect 6-0, but I looked at this roster top to bottom, and they didn't have the typical holes that Eagle teams in the past have had. Glaringly, wide receiver has been an issue for us. Mm-hmm. We haven't had solid linebackers since I don't know when. the secondary now with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and getting James Bradbury, how the hell the Giants let him walk? I don't understand.
I think it was like, was that a cap thing, Chris? Where they just handed him to a Pro Bowl corner right now.
He's been amazing. Yeah.
Him and Slay.
Yeah, and so looking at the roster before the season started, I could find no issues. I was excited for each dude at each position.
Yeah.
And that's a rare thing for any team, but particularly for the Eagles.
So then where's the trap door? What do you think?
Or our biggest opponent is health, really. I mean, I know the Niners have taken a step up getting CMC, and great move for them. They bring an area guy back home. They're going to sell a ton of jerseys. Mm-hmm. But I think that we match up with anybody in the NFC. I'm not afraid. Health is our only opponent.
What about the health of Dak now, though?
I mean, we'll see.
That's Christmas.
It is. And that'll be a hell of a gift to win and beat him twice.
You're right over there, TJ? You're right over there?
I was choked.
No, here's my thing. You know, Dak, obviously amazing, talented player. His first game this season before he got hurt, granted it's week one, didn't look great. I mean, you know, we'll see what issues they have once he comes back or whether or not they don't. But, you know, they're obviously going to challenge. Yeah.
Right. And I guess you got Minnesota at 5-1. You saw them in week two and you dispatched them as their only loss of the season so far. And Brady just they're 3-3. And Green Bay sitting there at 3-3. Neither of them look like they can currently right now compete with a team that can put points up on the board running the ball like the Eagles can, and then defending. You know, I know you were singing the praises of Jordan Davis as you sat down in the chair during commercial break. He is a grown-ass man.
One of the largest human beings I've ever seen in person in my life.
And you saw him when?
He made Lane Johnson look small.
Which is saying a lot.
I saw him in Philly after the Jags game. We went to the friends and family area. The Eagles are so good to me. They take such good care of me. Like, when I go to games and stuff like that.
Did you just go on the road with him too?
I did, man. I'm basically becoming an Eagles groupie in my spare time. So I went to Arizona with, I would say, 30,000 other Eagle fans. Which, by the way, this is not a trip down the turnpike to D.C. This is a dedicated...
There's no Delaware water gap in Arizona.
You're spending money to fly, to put yourselves up. Most dedicated fan base, I think, in sports, Philly. And, like, look at Citizens Bank. So our coach, our manager, was in New York for many years, the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
He said he's never seen an atmosphere like he did at Citizens Bank Park during the Braves series.
Well, I'll push back on that one.
I'm just saying. That's what he said, you know.
From all his days of the Yankees. Okay.
But it was shocking, Rich. I would go out into the concourse, you know, to get a drink or use the bathroom. And it was nothing but a sea of green jerseys.
In Arizona.
Yes. I kind of started feeling bad for the locals. Like, you know, we took over the place. That could never happen in Philly. Never.
Where Arizona comes in. Or
another
team, right?
Never going to happen.
Right. And Sirianni, you got to meet him as well?
I got to meet him very briefly. I felt like a little kid. I got all excited. Spoke to Shane Steichen a bit, who I think is doing a great job.
All right.
Yeah, man. And then when we were at the Jaguars game in Philly, Jason Kelce gave my son his jersey and signed it for him right in front of him.
Jason Kelce is terrific.
Hall of Famer.
I agree with you. Didn't you come out with a list the other day on Twitter of guys who are currently in the NFL that you know are Hall of Famers? And you put both Kelces on there, right?
I did put both Kelces on there. Yeah, it's just I was thinking about guys, if their career ended like right now, who do you know for 100% sure Hall of Fame locks.
Right.
And those are two of them.
I came up with about maybe 10
Mahomes,
to 15.
Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers.
Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers. Greer Fitzgerald, who's not actually still playing.
Right, but like guys retired. Who are still playing right now.
Let me see if I can find this list.
Who else would you include on that front right there? That's an interesting one.
Another thing I found interesting recently was there are only 6 modern-day centers in the Hall of Fame. Only 6.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be 7. That's what I
did. You see him and some of the other linemen are coming out with a Christmas album?
Did you see that? Yeah, I'm excited about it. It kind of reminds me of the days of like Buddies Watching You. Do you remember that song that the Eagles did back?
No.
It was an answer to like the Super Bowl shuffle.
Oh, okay.
Back when teams were like singing for no reason, you know.
When like what Reggie White did it back in those days with Jerome Brown, may he rest in peace.
Randall,
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to look it up. Buddy's watching you. It's really fun.
Buddy's watching you. My gosh. Ryan Phillippe here on the Rich Eisen Show and the Phillies at the same time right now.
Yeah.
Hosting an NLCS.
Yeah.
And Did you go to either of the games in San Diego?
I didn't. That's why I was secretly hoping the Dodgers would pull it out, because it would have made it easier to go to games. Uh-huh. But it was kind of hard to see Nola get, you know, hammered a little bit the other night. But I think we're going to take two out of three at least in Philly. Going, it's tough to play in that park, man. I'm telling you. People get shook.
In Philadelphia, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We bring it.
Hey, I know clearly that they're, well, I guess it's a better atmosphere than New York, which, you know, I still can't believe that, but okay, good enough. This is a team that you had to think when they got rid of Girardi, you know.
That was it, yeah.
That was kind of, we'll see what happens from here on out.
Yeah.
They should give this, you know, Thompson the gig, right?
Absolutely. He's the guy. How could you argue with the results? You know, and historically, the teams that have given us a ton of trouble, St. Louis and Atlanta, to get past them is a major sort of monkey off your shoulder, like, I think.
And Harper.
Yeah.
It's getting it done. Schwarber. Yeah. That guy is unbelievable. I don't know how. How does he keep on getting the Cubs let him go? The Red Sox didn't sign him. He's just unbelievable.
And wasn't his homer the longest in playoff? It was like a 528.
It left in like 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an unbelievable. That was a huge shot. No doubt about that. So let's talk about your other film, Summit Fever. What's that about that's available right now?
So Summit Fever is a mountain climbing movie that I did over COVID. It was an amazing experience. I always wanted to learn how to mountain climb, and that's one of the reasons I took the job, mm-hmm. is I knew I'd be trained by, like, world-class mountaineers.
Yes.
The ice climbing was terrifying, absolutely terrifying, because you've got the crampons on your boots, mm-hmm. and an axe. And there's nothing to hook into on an ice climb. You're using your rope wrapped around a piece of rock to keep you secure to the mountainside.
That doesn't sound great.
No, and I was looking down on top of Mont Blanc, which is one of the biggest mountains in the world. Looking down to my right or left was a 10,000-foot drop. And
what the hell are you doing?
I'm a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. I'm a little bit of a
thrill seeker. The Eagles aren't enough of that for you?
Well, yeah, this was during, you know, a year or so ago. But
okay.
But yeah, it's a really cool movie. And also the fact that it's a smaller film, there's no special effects. So everything you see us doing in the film from a climbing standpoint is actually us doing it. No green screen, no stage work. This is all practical, actual mountain climbing.
And you didn't get enough of a thrill doing all your own stunts in MacGruber?
funnily enough, I am doing a podcast about the history of stunts. I've started Jimmy Kimmel's company. We're going to do an oral history of stunts and entertainment, starting back with, like, Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, going through the martial arts movies up until, you know, we're sitting with coordinators who did, like, The Matrix and Mission Impossible to give, like, behind the scenes sort of Ken Burns take on.
So which is a stunt that you're just give me one from movies that you've seen that you're most impressed by, or one, you know.
Well, the craziest one I've ever done, I did a 4-story jump off a building on a descender wire, which is, I guess, what qualifies me to host this podcast in some ways. But our white whale for this series is a sit down with TC to talk only about stunts, Tom Cruise, to talk only about his stunt, because I think that's an episode anyone would want to listen to.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there one just recently for the latest mission or something like that?
He released that video of him standing on the plane. Did you see that, Ryan?
Yeah.
What the hell?
He's like, hey, we can't wait to see this movie. All right, we got to go. And then he just veers off and he's just standing there holding
on. It's amazing what that guy can do. And he's no spring chick either. I mean, not that I am, but, like, to be doing that stuff and risking, you know, calamity at 60 is crazy.
What's a descending wire? What are you just talking about?
So it's there, you know, when you do a jump or a large fall, usually there's just a wire hooked to a vest that you're wearing underneath your wardrobe.
Yes.
And your life is literally in the hands of the man who is on the ground and spooling you at the proper rate. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, you know, I had to do this jump 10 times to, you know, for various reasons. And I kept thinking, what if that man just had like he seized up, or he had some kind of, like, you know, moment, and, you know, I'm on my way down, and it's because he has to spool it at the exact speed that you're falling so that you don't get jerked heavily.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty terrifying.
Did they take the phone away from those people to make sure they're not, like, doing scrolling Twitter when you're doing your thing?
I just know when they introduced me to him, I couldn't have been more pleasant. I was like, you know.
Oh, you always are.
And so then I'm up there on the fourth floor about to jump off. The guy guy's rigging me, a stunt man. He's rigging me. And I turn to him and I go, how many times have you done this? He goes, dude, I wouldn't do this.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
No!
Well, because stunt people have their own specialties, and there's certain things that even them, they're not interested in doing.
But that's what a terrible swing thought. That's
like action.
Like, that's like you're about to hit the most important golf shot of your life. Someone's like, I wouldn't put it in the water. You know, it's just like, that. What a terrible thought to put in your head. I
mean, Ryan, you mentioned Tom Cruise, and you see all the crazy things he's been doing for all these mission movies and stuff. What's something like that that you would like to do for a film?
I mean, he's going to space. I want to go to space. He's shooting a movie in space. That's something that I'd be...
He wants to moonwalk? Did I see that?
Yeah, I mean, Doug Liman is going to make the movie, and they're going to shoot in zero gravity for a fair portion of it.
Wow.
I think the craziest one he did was hanging on the side of an airplane that's taking off. That is insane to me. I would love to do that, oddly enough. That one is something I find... Because who else has ever done that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it, to use the phrase that you just said. American Murderer is available in theaters today, available on digital and on demand next Friday. Summit Fever is available now on digital and on demand. Ryan, thanks for coming in here. Congrats on all your sports teams doing so well right now.
And congrats on your Jets looking like they're turning it around, man. I get happy when I see them win because of you, because
Thank
I think
you.
About you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that because I have been immensely happy with watching them. What they did last week in Green Bay is something that I have been waiting for some time.
I bet.
The neat part about it is it's not because of what the quarterback did. It's about that defense, those kids that are like balling, sauce in the back end, Quinnen Williams up front, setting the tone, because the offense, I think, is going to come along. And when it does, and they could start, if they can start putting up 21, 28 with regularity, I don't even want to say anymore because I feel like I'm going to blow it.
Hey, man, decades of top 10 picks will eventually yield a team that's decent. Like, that's how that works.
In theory. In theory, yes, exactly. Follow this man on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Phillippe. Thank you for being here, brother. Let's
Thank
do
you.
This more
always
often.
A pleasure.
You're always great to come in here whenever you can. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah.
We're back to wrap up this show with a special, power rankings list. I can't be contained right now, to use DP's phrase. NetSuite by Oracle. It's so important for your business's success to know your numbers. It's amazing how many businesses may not know fully what their numbers are, all in one fell swoop, all in one spot. 31,000 businesses, over 31,000 businesses, however, do not have that problem. They've got the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So, what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. I did this last night. I did this last night before the Christian McCaffrey trade. We noticed 10 teams in the NFL. Damn near a third of this league with 32 teams. 10 of them have 3-3 records.
How about that?
How can you tell which team that has won three and lost three for the rest of 6 weeks have a better chance of improving? How can you tell when records are the same which team is better than the other? And I thought to myself, wait a minute, 10, what number is best to rank teams in one bite-sized form? Which teams are better than the other when you can't tell just by looking at the records? How does that fit into my way of ranking teams powerfully?
This all came to you last night?
Yes!
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
So you want more power rankings, I'm giving to you.
Let's go!
You just made the list!
Here it is!
Yeah!
Power rankings of just the 3-3 teams through 6 weeks in the NFL. Oh. Do we want to do it? Hit it!
That is the best Photoshop of all time.
Power rankings!
There are many like it, but this one is mine!
Power rankings!
Yes! Bonus power rankings! of just the 3-3 teams, there's 10 of them. Wait a minute, I can't tell. One has got to have a be above the other because one has a better record or less than. No. No. Well, you need nuance and you need understanding of football to be able to pull off what I'm about to pull off.
You might be overthinking this.
Number 10 on my list is Atlanta. I still can't buy it. Can't buy it.
I don't know about that.
I know. They're better than you thought.
They are better than you think.
But 3-3, I'm still waiting. If they beat the Bengals this week, who are on this list because they're 3-3, then I'll have to reconsider.
They gave away week one. They should be 4-2.
You are what you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this list.
Not according to your original list.
They're number 10 on my list. Number 9 are the Dolphins. Once upon a time, 3-0. They've lost 3 in a row. I think Tua coming back is going to restore a little bit of what we saw through the first 3 weeks of the season, although Pittsburgh is bringing that stout front four to South Florida this weekend. I still need to see a little bit more from the Miami Dolphins. Once upon a time, in the top 5 of my regular power rankings, they're number 9 on the list of 3-3 teams. Number 8, I believe in the Seahawks. I like Geno. I like what Geno's cooking. I like that Tariq Woolen on the back end. I like Kenneth Walker. I like seeing the fact that it's still Tyler Lockett and it's DK out there. I like the new offensive line. I like Pete bouncing around and chomping gum, as Jim Brockman called the world's oldest teenager, right?
Now that
Dick Clark has passed away. Right, there you go. Very, very good. Number 8. Number 7 on my list? Yeah, bro. I'm zappied.
Yeah.
I'm zappied. This defense is really good. Defense, I'm speaking to Matthew Judon for Monday's show for Monday Night Football. He'll be on Monday's show.
Yeah, he's balling.
That defense is balling out.
Good defense.
Jacoby Myers can run routes. Mm.
Jack Jones playing defense. Don't miss J.C. Jackson.
There we go.
Jack Jones.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Plug and play.
Plug and play. Let's go.
Patriots are 7th on this power rankings list.
They're going to blow out the Bears.
3-3 teams. They're not going to be 3-3 for much longer.
Come on, get zappy.
Because they're playing a game this week.
Is that what the Purchase family said?
Number 6 on this list, I'm going with the Bucs here. I'm going with the Bucs here. I do love TB12. I'm still just a little bit concerned who he's throwing the football to. Wow. And I think we're going to see him at 4-3 this week. And then I'm nervous about the Ravens coming in, man. So I need to see a little bit more from the Bucs to be moved up on this list that I'm making up as a list. Number 5. I might be the only one. I definitely know I'm the only one in this room, but I might be the only one who still can't quit the Rams. I can't quit them.
I can't quit them.
They are not playing their best football right now, and I think they're going to get healthier on offense because at some point, the Rams, on average, will play a game in which a member of their offensive line will not be carted off during it. And so I like the Rams still. I still think when you're looking at star players, Cooper Kupp is getting his, and at some point, they're going to play better offense, and the defense is still the defense. Number 4 is the Packers on this list. I still love Aaron Rodgers, and I still think that the offense will eventually come around, and the defense is slumping. I think they got a get-right game in D.C. this weekend, and I'll take the Packers on this list. Number 3 is the Ravens. Again, power rankings of my 3-3 teams. There's 10 of them in the league. I still love the offense. They're a sneaky passing attack. The defense is going to start coming around. I believe the Ravens are a terrific team in the long run that will show up in the playoffs, but they won't win the division because number 2 on this list are the Bengals. I believe we just saw Cincinnati dig out from their 0-2 hole. They're officially back to 500. They have won 3 of 4 since starting 0-2. The only game that they lost was against the Ravens. I don't believe that'll happen the next time that they face them. And I think Cincinnati is about to go zooming in the direction of what we saw last year. And number 1, and this was before Christian McCaffrey, had the 49ers as the best 3-3 team. Now they got McCaffrey, look out. As I said earlier, I'll say it again. A running back who could play receiver, a receiver who could play running back, and a fullback who can play tight end. And they already have one of the best tight ends in the game. And they have some other terrific receivers and a deep running back list in case McCaffrey does have won a game or two, hopefully not any more than that, in which you can't answer the bell. And they've got a championship defense when healthy, and I think they're going to get Trent Williams back sooner rather than later, and look out.
All on Jimmy G now.
That's my power rankings.
All right.
Bonus power rankings. Bonus. Of just 3-3 teams.
Love it.
Chris Brockman, while we're on a free roll.
Yes.
On the power rankings list, let's wrap things up with sneaky good games. Here's NBC News Emeritus Tom Brokaw.
Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Christopher.
All right, guys, we're 2-2 last week. We're 5-3 in the last 2 weeks. Let's have some fun. I like the Titans -2 coming off a bye. Mike Vrabel, speaking of coaches coming off a bye, 4-0 Mike Vrabel off a bye. King Henry eats. Take the Titans. Green Bay and Washington, I think, is going to be a sneaky high-scoring game.
I agree with you.
I think Green Bay's offense kind of gets going a little bit, but I also think Heinicke can score as well.
I agree with you.
Washington has given up over 22 points in 5 of their 6 games. Seattle, I just think they're one of those teams you don't really know what's going to happen, but I think this could be a field goal game.
I agree with you.
5 points seems a little high for me. Take the Seahawks on the road.
Plus, I agree with you.
It's going to be about 3/4 Seahawks fans at SoFi. And then KC in San Francisco, even if McCaffrey doesn't play, the Niner D is still super banged up. They gave up a ton of points to Atlanta last week. Chiefs D also gives up a lot of points. 7 touchdowns in this game? Yeah, I'll take over that. Over 49 in San Francisco.
I like it. I like it. As you know, I don't condone it.
Of course not.
But I like it.
Let's go.
And you know, on game day morning, at the end of game day mornings, when we go outside in the 4th hour and we stand on that field right by NFL Network and the stadium's behind us and the parking lots are just open, you could see which fan base of the opposition is showing up in force. And I'm going to see a lot of 12s,
lot
I imagine,
12s.
When I stroll out on that field 3 hours before kickoff against the Chargers. That'll wrap it up. Thanks to Ryan Phillippe and Roquan Smith and Chip Kelly and Robert Saleh. We're back on Roku to send you to the weekend.
Hey, gents, let's talk Halloween for a second.
What is your favorite Halloween memory?
One time I saw Nightmare Before Christmas performed live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Walking with your kids.
It felt so magical.
And after they've got their candy and they walk away.
So pure.
The dad inside the house is handing you a beer.
My dad, when I get home, he would have me like empty out all the candy to make sure that it's safe. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I realized, what the f***? He was just eating my candy. Rude.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
One year I was Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
One year I was like, I would like to be roadkill.
The Halloween costume was a plastic smock and then a really scratchy plastic mask. I mean, you would style it if you had one of those.
Aquaman, the plastic mask cutting into your eyes, and then you get that little hole in the mouth to breathe through all night long.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
What's your fave candy, Mandy? Oh, that rhymes.
Anything Reese's, Snickers bars.
It's all the food groups.
It's a meal.
Nuts, you got caramel. Yes.
Candy corn.
I love candy corn. Me too.
Wait, really?
I'm one of the small percent of people who actually really enjoys candy corn. It gets a bad rap.
Thank you so much, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween from the Cumulus Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe and follow us at youtube.com/Cumulus Podcast.
Candy corn is terrible. It's atrocious. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not a candy.
Ooh. Happy Halloween.